football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Hey, this comes round very quickly, and we hope you enjoy it. It's the Legends for the next hour. If you're new to this show, then of course, stick with us. Hope you enjoy it. And, well, if you followed us all the way along, hope it's doing itself justice for you. The Legends, Aldo and Sharpie, are in the room. If you are with us, don't leave 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
You might make Aldo feel a bit lonely. Did you get that?
No.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, you haven't got
Klopp,
your wits about, have you?
Oh, sorry, yeah. It went over my head there. I'm a bit slow tonight.
I blurted that out badly, but clearly you weren't paying much attention.
Yeah, but you're only going to have a few early pints. You know, that happens sometimes.
Okay. We got loads to discuss. Of course, you want to talk Romelu Lukaku. You might want to talk about Liverpool and in any aspect, the defeat to Crystal Palace, European win, whatever it is. But leaving early, we've done a poll, of course, today on our Radio City Talk Twitter feed. And many of you have got involved. And the question that we asked, and we asked John to retweet it, but he retweeted the wrong thing. Still 600 of you did get involved with that poll. And what was it? What was the exact question we asked again? Big Dave, our producer, just going to remind me of it. Is Jurgen Klopp right? Do fans leave games too early? So that was what we asked. About 600 have got involved. And it's pretty obvious what they've said in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
Yes.
97% at the moment say yes. They leave
early. It's a little one, though. You're entitled, you know, you pay your money. You pay good money. You're entitled to leave when you want, first and foremost. But I always remember years ago in the old Kop and the Kemmelin Roads, you know, they used to always leave about 10, 12 minutes before the end. And the Kop used to slaughter them, you know what I mean, because they're going dead early. But hey, if you want to get off for whatever reason, and I think most of them want to get off to avoid traffic or go get an early pint in. You know, nothing you can do about it. But I think he'll have a beer in the next game, you know.
Well, I think, although I looked at it, and they left, but there was still 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes left, you know. So it's not as if they're getting beat 3-0. Then you can say, well, okay, they've discussed the performance, how to go. But the fact that they're still in it, you know, and those that left, if they'd have stayed and got behind the team, you just never know. And I think that's what he's alluding to, the fact that, listen, stay with us. You know, we still have a chance to get back in. It's better when there's a full stadium than people streaming it. And as players as well, the last thing you want to do, the fans have chucked it. Yeah. They've lost the game here, innit? Yeah. You know, they're all streaming out. So
when you were playing, would you be aware of anyone leaving the ground while
sometimes
you were still
on? Sometimes you're too focused, Dave, in the game, to be quite honest. Sometimes you might get away, you know, if you don't notice it. But to be honest, you tend to just, you know, keep your focus on when the ball's going to come to you or not, you know.
You can't understand. I can see. Remember some games in recent years with Sunderland and Newcastle fans streaming out at half time when their team's 4-5 now. You can understand that, and you think, oh, I've had enough, kind of thing. But when it's as tight as it was, and with 10 minutes going, as Aldo said as well, the fact that some want to get away to beat the traffic and everything else, but it's a strange one. Mm. And as John said as well, I'd be interested in the next home game.
I'll tell you what, the one match where I loved it when we were at Old Trafford. And we went 3-1 up, and then 4-1. The scene score. Yeah. And looked down, and there's still about, like you're saying, there's still about a good 7 minutes left. And it was only about 10,000 Man United fans. Oh, relished that one. It was great, that, by the way. It's like an home game for Liverpool last 10 minutes.
And looking, going the other side, you look at Man United over the years, how many times they scored
late on
in the last minute and all that kind of thing. And they kind of stayed in thinking, or something's going to happen in the last minute. We're going to get something back here.
Good point.
So it's an interesting one.
But that's the biggest thing, isn't it? As a football fan, you want to believe that your team is capable of creating that big crescendo at the end. You want that Manchester United feeling of they'll always get back into it. Yeah. So there's a responsibility on the players as well here.
The manager's picked up well on that, you know, for future reference. You know, if you want to make your ground a fortress, you know, and go unbeaten. And it is, you know, it adds, you know, and on the other direction. In Germany, you must stay till the end. You mustn't see that in Germany, because he's pinpointed this straight away. And see it's happening, he must say, well, this doesn't happen in Germany. What's this all about, you know?
This isn't a Liverpool problem, though, is it? I mean, it happens at all football clubs. It's only because Jurgen turned around and eyeballed everyone.
I'll tell you something, Ian, reminds you something. You might be too young to remember it, but the Ibrox disaster, Rangers against Celtic. Mm. And it happened when Celtic were winning and Rangers fans left before the end. They were halfway down the stairs. They heard a roar. They'd scored and they came back up. And so it's not something that's happened just recently. It's happened in years gone by. It's a natural thing to do. Your team's getting beat. Oh, we're off for an early dart. Get into town or whatever kind of thing. Beat the traffic. So it's happened for a long, long time. But I find it difficult. And I can understand the reasons why they do it. But if your team's still one behind, you're still thinking, come on. Unless you're getting beat 4 or 5, you can understand it then.
There's that whole thing, and we'll read some of the tweets out later about infrastructure as well, then, without getting too deep and messy in it, that the travel infrastructure is still pretty poor, isn't it, around both football clubs. So a lot of people are thinking, I'll beat the rush. I'll try and get away.
And absolutely, of course. You know, that's the way it is. The grounds are, you know, in an area where it's very, very tight, unfortunately. It's a gridlock to get out. I never noticed that. Other stadiums are very fortunate that you said they've got the infrastructure, you know, to get away. These are two stadiums that have been there for a long, long time, you know, not modernised in the direction of the roads anyway.
We've had it worse than that. You remember when we were stuck outside Charlton for about an hour? That was after you nearly got my car clamped inside the car park there. When you told me I could park in that official car park.
I blagged it, didn't I?
Right, if you want to get involved, you can do on the phone number 0151 4720 967 4720 967. We'll talk about charity bets later in the show. You can still get involved on that Twitter vote at Radio City Talk. That's the vote about Jurgen Klopp and his comments on leaving early. We just thought to spice things up a little bit. On a Monday, we're going to set a question, which we ask you to, and everyone can get involved as well. And it's basically, we can't think of a better name than true or false at the moment. So the first one is going to be most yellow cards for the season so far. Who has got the most yellow cards, Everton or Liverpool? This season, who is the dirtier team so far? We'll give the answer at the very end, but you think it's Liverpool?
No, I know. I've only seen that.
And added to that, which player do you think has probably picked up?
I think Lucas Lever's got to be up there. Lucas, had you know, James Milner.
Gareth
James Milner.
Okay, well, they're interesting choices.
But I think it might be Liverpool. I do think it might be Liverpool.
Gareth Barry.
You think Gareth Barry. You think James Milner.
Oh, yeah, I think
and,
James
And
Milner.
Just as a gamble, how many cards do you think Everton have picked up? Or how many do you think Liverpool have picked up, Sharpie?
How many games have we played?
12.
I would say Liverpool have picked up 19.
Ooh. 19. And for you, Aldo?
I'd go...
For Everton, dirty team or not?
Oh, about 60.
Right, we'll revisit that at the end of the show.
I'd say round about the set. I'd say 20.
Okay,
I'd
so 20. Okay.
But I think both teams are around about 20.
At Radio City Talk, I know a few people who do a bet every week on certain players to pick up a yellow card. They're that convinced that the likes of a few of them might just do that. Let's get to some of the games. Everton, 1-1. Stones imperious.
Yeah.
I saw something written today in The Guardian saying... he's the best centre-half England have got at the moment. Would you go that far?
All depends what you're looking for.
Is he that good? Has he improved that much this season?
All depends what you're looking for in a centre-half. But, you know, I thought Saturday he was going to be up against it and Andy Carroll coming back. But by all accounts, didn't threaten at all Andy Carroll. He had him in his pocket, you know, aerially as well. You know, the reports I had that Carroll really struggled in the game. He was plodding. But Stones was, as you said, imperious. So, best defender in England... there's not many to choose from. I'll be honest with you. I think that the lad at Man United, Smallings, had a better season. They're all raving about him. I think at this moment in time, Stones is better than Terry. He's better than Cahill.
Company's up there, isn't he?
Company's up there,
when he's having a better season this year.
So in terms of English ones, I think he probably is.
It's how it looks as well. Barney Ronay writes in The Guardian today, and John can reflect on this. Here he did a pretty decent Alan Hansen. All composed, gliding authority.
That's
probably a good description of the lad, isn't it?
Very similar, you know, the way he plays to Jockey, isn't he? Yeah, in many ways, you know. He's not fazed, he's good on the ball. You know, he
takes chances, as Jockey does as well.
Yeah, you know, he can come out with a ball and neat and tidy, good in the air, you know, and he reads the game, you know, very well.
Okay, let's get to the phone lines. 0151 4720 967. Have you got any headphones there, Sharpie?
No.
Have you not?
No.
This is terrible news. Someone's stolen our headphones.
Can't
Big
get the
Dave.
Anymore.
sort this out, will you? You or Lizzie. Get some headphones in there, because we can't hear Paul the Blue. You might have to pass.
Oh, yeah,
because obviously Paul wants to talk to Sharpie. Let's introduce him. Paul, welcome to the Legends. Paul's in McGall. Hi, mate.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Hi, Paul.
Just before you get going, who's got the most yellows, Liverpool or Everton so far, Paul?
I'm thinking about the same logic of Sharpie with Gareth Barry and all that, but I think Liverpool have picked up more, you know, because I think individually, like Sacco in the back four, I'd go for Liverpool.
What do you want to discuss with Sharpie?
Right, a couple of points if I may. Firstly, Delafeo. I was totally peed off at the weekend because the ball he put through for Lukaku in both the Sunderland and the West Ham game, if he'd have been playing for, if you wish, a higher team like City or that, that'd have been all over Sky and everything. The boy now was put from, like, the quality balls he knocks in all the time, early balls, which kills defenders, gets them on the turn and all that. But now from a central position where he can pick out passes, the runs and all that, that's one point which I think is absolutely massive with him. The second one, I had a debate with me two boys in the Sunderland game, and they were getting peas off with the way Everton were doing all these quick touches and all that. And I said, boys, I said, the difference in this one is, unlike where we were last season, I'd say, where we were knocking like across the back four and all that, we were actually zipping it one touch around and we were drawing them out. I know it was only Sunderland, but we were drawing them out. And I think if we can carry on that way, we'll become more progressive.
The first point, I think the ball that Delafield played was top draw. I agree with you there. It was a fantastic ball. And, you know, good movement from Lukaku. That's what I think he's been starved of in recent months, you know, the service up to him. But, you know, great ball, great finish. Moving it with more zip, I think we can still move it quicker. Paul, I still think that, you know, and I said it about Sunderland. Sunderland were very, very poor, so I wouldn't, you know, draw some comparisons. I thought they were poor and they're, you know, they're probably the worst side I've seen in the Premier League. But I think we need to move the ball quicker in the final third. I think we have done. I think Delafield has given us a little bit of something different with his directness. Aaron Lennon did a good job last year, but, you know, I think there's more of an end product from Delafield. So all in all, I think disappointing that we didn't really go for the jugular against West Ham. I thought, you know, at 1-1, I thought we looked the better team. I just think if we just push forward a little bit more, we might have won something. But I think before the game, we would have taken a draw. But I think Evertonians coming away from Upton Park on Saturday were a little bit disappointed that they never took all 3 points.
Yeah, I agree, Graham. But the thing is to look at, I mean, is from where we were a few weeks ago, saying we were too negative and too... We're trying to get back to front quicker, I think, you know what I mean? And you've got to think about the difference, the changes we've made. And it's now, I think Roberto's got a nice Kwanzaa now. I mean, Maisie, I love Maisie to death, but I think he's going to be an impact player. Because Kone's come on, Kone's been a revelation, absolute revelation. And that's all to do with movement. And now that's, I don't know whether you've noticed, but the last few games, Ross, instead of looking for like little lay-ins and all that, he's actually looking for killer balls quicker. With the movement of Lukaku and Kone.
I think the difference what Kone's given is when the ball goes forward to him, you know, the midfield players know that it's going to stick and then they'll take a chance and go and play off him. I think, no disrespect, when the ball went up to Rom, you know, the midfield players in general wouldn't go forward because they didn't expect Rom to get a hold of it and it'd break down and they'd be caught out of a position. But now when it goes up to Kone, I think the players round about him realise he's going to get a hold of it, we can go and support him. And we look better in the final third because we're actually getting a hold of the ball now. I still think that we can play the ball quicker to Lukaku. Prime example was the goal. I think, as I said before, a fantastic ball, a fantastic through ball. So, yeah, I think the final third has been a problem. I've said it all along. The final third has been a problem and getting that right mix and balance. Delafield was certainly given us something extra. And long may it continue, Paul.
Nice one, Paul. Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts there.
Cheers, lad.
You mentioned De La Feu, and is he turning out to be an A-lister? Has he still got
loads to prove? Loads to learn. Yeah.
Stats look good this season.
Yeah, loads to learn. Listen, John will tell you, he's a frustrating winger where 1 minute he'll do something brilliant, you go, wow, I'll get you on the edge of your seat, and then the next minute he'll fall over the ball or run it out of play, and he's just like a winger. Like, he's only young, he's only learning. He has got ability, the boy, but he's still learning. For me, he's still got a lot to learn. I think his end product has got to be better on more occasions, but the boy's got ability.
Okay, handful of assists. He's doing pretty well on that front. Let's take on ex-caller. It's a red. It's Brian, who's in Anfield. Hiya, Brian.
Hello, mate.
Reds or blues? More yellows this season?
Reds, I think.
Everyone thinks it's Liverpool. What do you want to talk to John about?
I'm just asking him what he thinks about the improvements that Jurgen Klopp's made at the minute. Why he thinks the Reds are playing better than they were under Brendan, yet it's the same players.
Yeah, he's just picked them up, hasn't he? It's a different voice. You know, obviously he's given certain players, you know, refound belief in themselves, i.e. Ibe and, you know, Lucas and one or two others. And that happens when a new manager comes in. You know, we fell away big time, hadn't we?
Big time, and each come in. The confidence had drained.
Yeah,
from some
absolutely.
Of the players, the likes of Coutinho and Ibe, and obviously we don't know what's been said behind the scenes, but I think reading between the lines, he's got them in running more.
The stats have come out and they're doing so many miles as a team more, which that shouldn't be the case really, because every game put a shirt on, you should be running your heart out for the fans and for the club. But he's done it, you know, and he wants them to play in that manner, which is refreshing, you know. And since he took over the Tottenham game, you can see it's in the game. With yesterday's game, I found it a bit odd. You know, with the first 20 minutes, we didn't really start off with a pressing game, or we didn't seem to, you know, and they came after us, Palace. Mm. And to be fair
decent,
to them,
they're
a decent side, the big, strong, pacey up front, and they played to the strengths, and they got at us in the first 10, 15 minutes, and I don't think they were expecting that Liverpool.
I agree. I know how to beat Liverpool.
Absolutely agree, because he was shouting his mouth off before the game, wasn't he, Pardew? Which is always like him. He likes doing that. But you know, you'd like to think the manager would have seen that and said, "Well, hey, see if he's true to his word now." But expect them to come at you as they do. And to be fair, it was a little bit of a shock. I mean, we gave a goal away. It was a poor, poor goal giveaway. You know, when you should Moreno's got to clear that first of all, and then when it's come in the box, Sean's done the same as what he did at Goodison Park, and he's hit it across the face. You don't do that. You put it in the stand, in the sort of, you just stick it away, and then the second goal is a set play. Another, you know, we've lost 3 points in the last two home games. Boom, Southampton, you know, a set play launched into the box. And the corner where you've got Firmino, Mark and Scott Dan.
I thought the goalkeeper was poor, John.
Could have done better, he could have pushed it, the thing, he pushed it away somewhere, but he's pushed it back into play, and Scott Dan's reacted really well. No one's on the post.
No.
You can look at all different things and nitpick, you know, but certainly the two goals were gifted. Our goal was an extremely well-worked goal. We worked for the goal. And we seem to have to work for our chances. Nothing's gifted to us at this present moment in time. But you know what, Brian? It's one of those results that at the end of the game, I wasn't disheartened because
I watched the game it went how I thought it would go at all. Because we played on Thursday, and I'm not making that an excuse. I just think that the time they got back Friday, they never had much time to train or recover because of the travelling time. And we did look lethargic in the first 20 minutes.
That could have been the case, maybe. So it shouldn't be, as you said before, but it could have been.
Well, Jürgen spoke about that, didn't he? And he said, we won't use this as an excuse. We're not going to use travelling as an excuse for why players
can... Sounds like an excuse to me.
Well, it sounds like it if we say it, doesn't it? But he's basically saying you can't use that as an excuse now.
You can't. I've said that all along. I think the teams in the past, I'm not talking about Liverpool, but teams in the past who have been involved in it, that was the easy way out. Oh, we're tired.
It's a cop-out.
But don't get me wrong, it was a long flight for Liverpool coming back. But Klopp was right. You know, he gets it right in the players' heads. Don't be using this as an excuse, because I'm not having this. Yeah. So
I agree with that, Sharpie. Yeah. And I think this comment he made after the match, I've seen it on the telly about the crowd leaving. I think he's right. I think I was never one for leaving until the whistle had gone. Whether we were winning or getting beat 4-0, I'd still stay to the end, because that's why you're a supporter, you know, you could support them through thick and thin. But I think John will tell you, and Sharpie probably know himself, there is certain sections in every ground where they'll get off 10 minutes early.
Well, Brian, we were talking earlier on, Brian. Where about do you sit in the ground?
Well, I don't go no more.
John. Where did you used to sit then? Where did you
I used to sit on the cop. I used in to go cop. On the cop.
When well, do you remember when the Cameron Road used to leave? Before you used to get slaughtered by the cop, didn't he? Used to love it. I used to look forward to when they started getting up and going so we could get right into them and slaughter them.
Yeah. Nice one, Brian.
Cheers, Brian. Yeah.
Brian, we're going to have to leave you there.
Cheers, Brian.
Points, and thanks for getting involved. It was great those days when you had two stands talking to each other, didn't you?
Yeah,
there was the famous days when if there was mist or something, they'd be saying, where are you, where are you?
And when the fog come down at Anfield, and they asked Anfield Road and who'd scored. Yeah. Those are the days, weren't they?
Absolutely, one thing's for certain, whoever does stand up first in the paddock, just below where our press box is, they're going to get absolutely mullered, aren't they, for the next home game?
I tell you what,
you're going to have to be brave, John.
He stared it up and it's going to be good banter knocking about next home game, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, this is what he had to say about it.
82 minutes, game over. And it's moment. That's like it is. We have to learn it. I'm not disappointed about this. But they have reasons. Never been out of the stadium 82 minutes, 10 minutes to play. Maybe it's easier to come out, I don't know. But there are reasons for this. But we are responsible. We are responsible that nobody can leave a stadium a minute before the last whistle. Because everything can happen. And that's what we have to. But we have to show. We didn't. I don't want to argue or whatever. No want to say this. Everything is okay. But we can do better. That's what I said.
Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Okay, welcome back to the Legends. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp in the studio. Still plenty of time for you to get involved out there. Might be Liverpool, might be Everton, might be Tranmere you want to discuss. 0151 4720 967. We've got loads of quizzes on tonight, different things. Sharpie, here's one for you. We normally play a bit of goal commentary. Instead, we're going to play you a voice
that's
slightly masked. Tell us who this is and where he is currently in terms of his playing career.
It's been a long time coming, a clean sheet for myself, and you can't believe how delighted I am to have come out in front of the Goodison faithful. The fans have been unbelievable to me. You know, the amount of backing they've gave me and support that I've had from people in the streets and everything is fantastic. So, you know, I was really pleased to get a clean sheet at last.
Someone in the background saying, "Hey, I'll jump you," but that wasn't him. Who do you think that is? And where is he still playing? I'll give you a little bit of a clue if you want. Goalie,
I would say
Thomas Mahrez, isn't that
Richard Wright. Richard Wright. Do you know where he still is? Do you know where he is?
He was at Man City, which was an unbelievable move for him. How he got that? I don't know if he's still there. I think Mike's still there, is he?
He's still at Man City. Yeah. Turned 38 in the last week, and he's still at Manchester City. Can you believe that?
He can't either.
Holiday,
that,
isn't
he? Yeah, all day long.
Well, that is the best gig in town, isn't
How
it?
How many appearances he had in the last 6 years?
You can't be giving me quiz questions. It's less than a handful, isn't it?
I was going to say all day long.
We brought Big Dave in, our producer, to try and fix things. He's absolutely useless, isn't he?
He's useless.
I tell you what, you had Lizzie dropping tea all over you the other week, and now you've got Dave who can't plug a set of headphones in. We put the Sky monitor on because very shortly will be the FA Cup draw. And of course, your lad Sharpie, playing with Salford at the moment, wasn't playing on Friday night.
He was on the bench.
But what a goal that was by Salford.
Did you see it? I didn't see it. Great result, wasn't it? Bloody
It was an absolute cracker, that goal he scored. What's the lad's
name? Richie Allen.
Richie Allen.
And he just said, afterwards, I think he might have had a few drinks, but saying it was the best ever FA Cup goal. And I said to my lad, I said, you better be careful. Do you not remember Giggs is against Arsenal at Villa Park, remember?
Villa Park,
I think that may have been the best one. But he says his was the best.
It was pretty good.
Good goal.
Pretty good. Let's welcome Anthony, who's a Liverpool fan in Norris Green. Welcome to the Legends, Anthony.
Good evening, boys.
Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Ant.
Hello. I'd like to talk about our game on Sunday, Aldo, please. And it's about the fact that the lack of width we've got. No one tends to run with the ball anymore. It's all down the middle. And when teams have got actual wingers, they tend to expose us time and time again. They just break on us.
But they did yesterday, didn't they? I tell you what, I'm happy with them. I agree, the width could be better, especially on the left-hand side. But I thought Klein and I done really well together. yesterday, you know, down that side. You know, Jordan Ibe, you know, we played really well, and I thought Klein was our best defender. And going forward, you know, he made some really good runs. The only thing, if you want to, you know, start pointing fingers, the final ball at times leaves a lot to be desired, percentage wise. And you know, I think it's a crime. And you look at Sharpie and any centre who plays centre forward, when they get wide into good areas, you've just got to miss the first man. You've just got to hang the ball up, you know, round about the 6-yard box, to penalty spot, far post, and your job's done. And it's up to the strikers against them, the position where they can attack the ball. Far too often, we hit the first man. You know, and I've been watching the Premiership as a whole. I think it happens an awful lot. With these players supposed to have so much quality. And it's not hard to hang a ball up, is it?
No.
And it frustrates me, you know, seeing Liverpool in particular when it happens. But it happens not just at our club, you know, at other clubs as well, you know. And
especially when you've got a big man up front who thrives on crosses and stuff, and we just seem to just want to pass it sideways and backwards. Mm. And it's just, you're just a waste on the man, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at... Yeah, I look at Benteke and a little bit like Andy Carroll when he was at the club. I criticised Andy Carroll because his positional sense when the balls came in, he was under the ball. Now again, we were always told to get yourself far stick beyond the far post, so you've got the space in front of you to attack. Once you're in the middle of the goal, you've blocked all the space. The ball goes over your head. You can't get it. Like when Benteke, you know, possibly should have scored, there's a great opportunity. He was going backwards. He should have been coming in on that. Now, that's something which he needs to be told by the manager and the coaching staff. When the balls go wide, you shift yourself beyond the far post so you can come in on top of it. Yeah. You know, but Andy Carroll was doing it all the time, and Benteke always gets himself in that sort of area, penalty spotish. But you're blocking the space. You should be you should be another 20 yards out, so you're coming in.
But John, you look as well in the fact that Liverpool over the last few years haven't really played that way, have they?
No, played through the middle.
It's all played through the middle. Sturridge and Suarez and everything else. Yeah. Well, you know, it's not something they've been used to. They've got the players who are the natural wide players. I think Ibe's in the natural wide player.
Jordan Ibe's the only one we've got at the moment.
Natural wide player, natural width. So I can understand, you know, the reason why the service isn't as great. Yeah. But at times, when you've got somebody like Benteke, mix it up. Just go and hit him early. Yeah, go and use him. Use his strengths. You know, there's no use having them in there and not playing to
absolutely. Them. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you look at the lad, Markovic, you know, he's a natural winger as well. Mm. That's why I found it strange that when Liverpool bought Benteke in, they shifted them out. It was that was odd. You know, it was odd.
Anthony, did you go to the game?
I went to the game, on Sunday.
Did you leave early?
No, I never leave early. Never, ever.
You don't want an Aldo stare, a Klopp stare. Thank you very much, Anthony. Great talk to you. You don't want to be stared at by the manager, do you?
Oh,
have
funny.
You seen those pictures on Sky? Where he sort of looks longingly, doesn't he? Everton, better team than Liverpool at the moment. The league table would say
doesn't
so.
Does lie?
The table says level on points, but goal difference better.
The one, I look at that table, and the thing I can't believe is Leicester. 1 point off the top. Remarkable.
Now,
when people are saying, is it Ranieri that's made the big difference, or was it Nigel Pearson's team? And they've just kicked on. It's a real, real story, that is fantastic. Everton, Liverpool at the moment, in and around it kind of thing, could do better. I think that's the thing for both clubs.
Yeah. Similar sort of level, though.
Yeah.
C+.
C+. Yeah. Oh. Dave's in Everton, Fanny's in Highton. Welcome to the Legends, Dave. Dave? Have we got you, Dave? Oh, there you go. I've got you on the wrong fader there. Apologies, Dave. Are you okay, pal?
No problem, yeah.
There we go. Yeah. You're talking to the lads.
How are you, boys?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
All right, fella. It was more for Sharpie, really. Mm. There's talk lately about Lukaku going to do one. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether we do depend on him or not. I mean, half the time you say he's getting called a lazy player.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time it's like, put the ball to him and he'll put it in the net for you. It's whether you get the feed. If Stella Faye is not on blob, then, you know, You've got to have your Barclays on blob. We play great against the Chelseas, and then all of a sudden we just show loads of respect, like your West Ham's. It doesn't make sense.
No, Dave, you're right. You know, we talk about Lukaku. Listen, that's always going to be the case. You know, when you look at his goal scoring record, and he's only 21-22, whatever. His goal-scoring record is fantastic. Mm. You know, so if he continues to score goals, he's always going to attract, you know, other clubs coming in and showing an interest in him. Now, the price goes up and it goes up and it goes up because you paid top dollar for goal scorers. That's what he is. If you talk to Evertonians, they'd say, oh, he can't do this and he can't do that. You know, but his job is to score goals, and that's one fact that you can't argue about him. You know, people say, oh, he's this and he's that. But listen, I tell you what, you know what I'll have all day with him is the fact that he's a goal scorer.
But would you have someone who's buzzing either and everywhere, well, front of his coming to midfield? And yeah, no. Okay, you want you to goal scorer, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You want him to work hard, don't get me wrong, Dave. But if you're putting the ball in the net as he is, take it all day long, don't
and
you?
Dave, the big thing as well, take him out the team.
What happens to him?
And I don't think we've got many goals in there. That's my worry, you know. And he seems to play every single game, and I'm thinking, fingers crossed, he doesn't pick up an injury here, because if he does, you know, we talk about Liverpool and Sturridge being out for a long time. If the same thing happened to Lukaku, I think we'd struggle big time.
I do. Well, I don't know who we depend on after that.
No,
John, would you like him? Would you like him playing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You want goal scorers. Too, right? You know, you don't realise how young he is, you know, because he looks a lot old. He's been about, you know, a fair bit of time. He's nowhere near his peak here.
No.
You know, and yet, as Sharpie said, his goals per game record is brilliant. Mm. The one thing I will say, Dave, when you hit on your first note, is unfortunately, this day and age, as we've seen from Liverpool point of view, if the heads are turned and they want to go, mate, they go. You know, when you sign these new contracts, they're just an insurance policy, pal. Because if they want to go, you can't keep them. Now, the agent will shift it and they'll get it and they'll make excuses and they'll go. You know, from an Everton point of view, you just want him to be happy at the club, because he's better off where he is now, playing, you know, all the time, you know, and getting great results for Everton, scoring great goals, whatever, than going to somewhere else, perhaps where he'll only get 50 or 60% of the game time.
Well, you look at it as well, and I think one of the clubs he's been linked with is PSG. Everybody knows about the money at PSG. Yeah. Fantastic money. But is French football good? Is that something you want to do? Play
it's just
in France?
The Champions League, isn't it? That's the only
it's just a step up
it.
From Belgium.
Yeah.
You know, where he left from Anderlecht. So would you want to go back? Okay, the money, great, and living in Paris and all that kind of thing. But I don't think it's necessarily a step up in his career.
Dave, do you think, would you go for Romelu Lukaku ahead of Christian Benteke?
I would, yeah. I've got to be honest here. I don't think Benteke is a Liverpool player. I really don't.
Oh, that's fancy. Why is that?
I just don't think his work rate suits Liverpool. He's not a Liverpool striker from the history of Liverpool. He's not their type of player. I don't think he fits in.
I think Oscar Villa fans they loved him, but that was always a flaw in his makeup. You know, he's not. And I watched him the first few games, and after saying, I thought, oh, get after that one, run after that one, because that's what we used to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you start your defensive play from your front, don't you? And he didn't. But I noticed. I watched him yesterday. And I know the manager wants them all to run, and they've got these monitors on them. He actually put a bigger shift in yesterday, working across the back four a little bit more. So even though it's alien to him, you know, the manager might get the message across, and he knows he's going to have to do it, because the monitors will tell you. Mm. You know, it's there in black and white, isn't it?
You'd probably see he was more an Everton-type player than he was a Liverpool player, because he was a big, strong centre-forward who thrives on crosses.
I agree.
But then again, Dave, what you've got now is you've got an Everton team that don't really get the ball in the box. They've got a little bit better now with the De La Feo's coming, trying to get the ball in the box. But when you look over the years at Everton teams, all the way back to Dixie Dean, it was all about getting the ball away, getting the ball in the box, a big centre forward. You know, Tommy Lawton, Joe Royal, Dixie Dean, Fred Picken, Andy Gray, myself, Bob Latchford. That's the way they played. Get it away, get ball in the box. That's gone now. You know, that's not the way football's played this day. So the big strikers, target man, we talked about it last week, is becoming a dying art.
Would you swap the two, Sharpie? Would you swap Lukaku for Benteke?
No, because of the age and everything else, and the goal-scoring prowess of Lukaku is better, I think, than Benteke. But Benteke, when he played against Everton, especially down at Villa, he was he gave us a torrid time. Torrid time.
Dave, bang on with some of your points. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed. Have a good night. Fascinating because Roberto, maybe tongue-in-cheek, said Romelu was worth £55 million. But actually, I don't know what is tongue-in-cheek these days. Because actually, you're looking for strikers. You've got to pay for them. Yeah. If De Bruyne is £50
million. Well, then people know, any just in case.
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, is that the sort of use of 21 figures show he scores goals? If you want a goal scorer, he is between 30 and 50
if
million.
If someone comes in with the money that they've got, then you sky's the limit. Yeah. You get what you can. Yeah. You know, you start off at there and then...
You just mentioned De Bruyne. And nobody in the right mind would have said you'd have paid 50-odd million, whatever it was, for
madness,
him.
Madness, isn't it?
And you go...
Or Raheem Sterling.
49 million for Raheem Sterling. It's madness. Yeah.
And he's only a young lad, so his age came into consideration as well. Raheem Sterling, so Lukaku's in the same age bracket. Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't tongue-in-cheek. Okay, thank you very much. More from Sharpie and Aldo after the break. It's the Radio City Legends. It's your show.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Oh, welcome back to the show. 15 minutes past 7 o'clock. I'm Steve Hover, Saul Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. Mm. They've sort of got one eye glued to the screen. David Moyes sacked by Real Sociedad. Games 42, won just 12 of them. But of course, he's likely to be on his way back to British football.
But why
did it not work for him?
That's what I said on the show on Friday with Gary Gillespie. Sometimes managers need to be given more time. You know, a year... You know, it's not a big enough time for me for him to build his own way, the way he wants him to play. Now, the only thing I would think that might go against him is if he's gone in there and he hasn't learnt the language and he hasn't really integrated into the way, John, you know more than anybody about Spanish football. If he hasn't bought into the way they want to do things, that might go against him. But I just think in terms of football, the results haven't been great and it's a results-driven business. But I think... got to give him more time. They weren't great before he went there.
Yeah.
So if they were great before and he never succeeded, fair enough, but they weren't a great side when he went there.
You've been there recently, haven't you? Yeah, you got a hero's welcome when you went back and you saw Moisey there. And are you surprised it hasn't worked out for him?
Yeah, I thought the job was last year he went there was to stabilise it, keep them up. And he did it somewhat. But it wasn't great. It wasn't very entertaining the way they played the football, you know. And this year, I think the fans expected to just go a little bit better, you know, whereas they finished just below mid-table-ish, you know, to maybe look upwards and onwards type of thing. And they've had a really poor start of the season and they got sucked into the into the relegation battle. And
do you get battered out there if things aren't good?
The pressure is huge. You know, in Spain they have like the Marker, the AS amongst other play papers every single day. Football, just completely on football, and then other sports at the back. It's mega, you know, and. You know, the people are very, very passionate out there, you know, and I think they don't want them to get... They've had a couple of really bad results of late. They don't want to get sucked into that relegation zone and they press the panic button, haven't they? Which always happens.
Well, how far has his stock fallen? I mean, what sort of level club does he end up at? Now, indeed, has his stock fallen, do you think? I mean,
it was always a gamble going over there because people said if he goes over there and does well, he comes back, he's a better manager, he experienced European football, everything else. So you think, well, great. How far has his stock fallen? Well, I don't know. I still think if Newcastle job comes up, I still think he'll be in and around that.
He'd be on a merry-go-round. The merry-go-round, that's what I'm sharp. They all jump on a merry-go-round and they wait for the club to come and then they jump off, don't they?
Yeah. So he'll get a job, not without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, let's talk boxing for a minute or two. The Smith boys are just absolutely
first of all, you have to feel for Rocky feeling, you know what I mean? What happened?
But both great lads.
Absolutely great lad. And you know, Callum Smith, you know, that was amazing what he did. Absolutely amazing. What a family. And we were talking about it before the show, on you know, the BBC sports personality. This has never happened in British sport. What they've achieved as a family, the four lads, is unbelievable. You know, for the city of Liverpool to have these four lads is just... mega, it's fantastic. Let's just hope everyone gets behind them. Let's get in the press, get some on the social media, put some pressure. Because if these lads were from London, they'd probably get something.
Get knighthood.
Yeah. They should be honoured for this, shouldn't they?
No, listen, how proud you know, that Liverpool should be of them, you know, and I just thought the fight, and I was looking forward to it. I sat down thinking this would be all right. I think it lasted, what, 2 minutes or something, but what an explosive start. Oh, frightening. No, fair play to him, brilliant.
It's always been a hotbed of boxers, this city, throughout the years, you know. We got our mate Tony Bell, you know, Tony's, you know, he's fighting soon, isn't he? Great lad, and all. We always wish him the best, absolutely. Mm. You know, but as a family, what the lads have done is just amazing.
Tony, who was on Sky covering it at the weekend, he's listening to the show tonight. Tony's going to fight Mateusz Masternak in December. Ooh. Polish cruiserweight at the O2 in London, same night as Anthony Joshua. So fingers crossed for him. I think Tony's on a great path at the moment. Mm-hmm. So
keep
hope you enjoy the show.
Keep it going, Tony.
But yeah, Smith boys, absolutely superb stuff. Let's get through some of the quickfire questions. These have been sent in on email, tweets, whatever. Here we go. Right, this was just in reference to the poll we ran about Jurgen Klopp's comment, do fans leave too early? Steve says, annoying they leave early. Walk past in front of me. I then can't see. May as well leave myself. But I never do. I sort of get that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
You'd have to stand up, wouldn't you, actually? Because in the lowest stand, they do walk past you and the bottom seats. It's true that I never thought about that.
Very irritating. So Will in Seaforth, completely agree with Kopp. It's a joke how early people leave. Mickey in Highton, is Deu Lefeu a starter for you week in, week out, Sharpie? Or is Morales the man?
Listen, it depends on how he plays. You know, whether he's a starter or not. At this moment in time, I would probably say no. I still think he's got an awful lot to learn, and I think Morales will be given an opportunity very, very soon. Just been called into the Belgium squad today as well. So, you know, I think he'll be looking to get a few starts under his belt. So I wouldn't say he's a definite starter.
Peter and Heswell, Klopp's first signing has got to be a decent keeper.
Hey, come on. I disagree. We've got other aspects of our playing staff needs attending. I think I like Mignolet. I think Bogdan, when he played, was brilliant the other week. No, we've got bigger agendas on the case rather than the goalkeeper for me.
Okay, and Lucy in Skelmersdale, is Lukaku too inconsistent, Sharpie? Was it stats? Well, don't listen, say that in terms of goals, do they?
Exactly. You know, he'd probably want more from him as a player, but you can't argue his goals.
Okay, we've got time to wrap up. A couple of the quizzes. One of the quizzes was, of course, the bets you were doing. So Gary Gillespie was here, so he failed for Liverpool. Their charity pot still stands where it was. He went for Falkirk, who won. He went for Hull, who won, and he went for Burnley. And they drew at Wolves. Yeah. And Sharpie came close. Tell us the story of your charity
bets.
I
went for an early one. Leeds were at Huddersfield and won 3-0 away from home. I thought, yeah, great. Second one was Brighton, MK Dons, 2-1. I'm thinking, I'm in here again. And it was about 50-1 or something. I'm in. And my last one let me down, and that was Sheffield Wednesday, who got battered at Charlton.
Which means the Reds have the honour on Friday.
No,
if you want to choose the same teams, you're not allowed anymore. So the Reds have got first pick on that. Let's wrap up. Most yellow cards, Everton or Liverpool? So your bets were, Sharpie said Everton, you went for 19.
Yeah.
And the answer on that one is Everton have got 21.
That's not bad.
Liverpool, John said 20. They've got 26.
Wow. Yeah, how many is James Milner?
James Milner's got the most yellow cards.
I've 23. Got that right,
five. And the Everton player with the most.
He's suspended with five now, is it?
Yeah.
So what's the situation there? Is that right? Dave says he is suspended. I thought he was injured.
I thought he was injured the weekend, wasn't he? He
missed the suspended game.
Oh, right. Dave says, good job, Dave, our producer knows. He says he served it now.
I would check that.
McCarthy as the most
McCarthy,
for Everton.
Has he? I thought it was Barry or McCarthy.
Four. I thought Gareth Barry. He's only got two yellow cards so far
suspended
this season.
Yeah, he's got sent off.
There you go. That's how it stands. Nice little quiz question for the lads. Busy week for you both. You're having a look at the FA Cup
at
the moment.
Home. Salford City at home against...
This is big. This is your lad, isn't
this
it?
This is my lad, yeah.
Oh, good one.
Hartlepool.
Winnable, very winnable.
Yeah. Ronnie Moore,
and don't forget out there, the Smiths. Get your tweets in. Let's get a petition going from Liverpool. They should be on it, them lads. Whether it's BBC Sports Team of the Year, whatever it is, I don't know. They need to get something for what they've achieved.
Okay, another tweet coming in there. Said it best. Too many people want to go to Anfield for the atmosphere, but by doing this, it's damaging it. That's a response to the tweet about
very, very quickly. I'm not seeing Anfield's like that, but if you go to Arsenal. Manchester City's going the same way now. It's now becoming a tourist attraction.
Well, it's sanitised, isn't it? I still think Anfield has one of the best atmospheres.
Yeah, it's still very good. Yeah. You know, can be better, especially the big nights. It's excellent. You know, they rise to the occasion, and it's a lot better. You know, I saw someone who went to Man United saying because the way they're playing, it's like you know,
so watching paint dry.
So you know, it could be worse. They used to like flamboyant football under Ferguson. You know what? You know they're seeing what football, what it's really, what we've had to endure for years as Liverpool and Evertonians, up and down and the way it is. You know they've been spoilt with the football that Ferguson played, and unfortunately for them, they're still getting results. But it's like watching paint dry, and just needing to get beat a few more times.
Busy week for you, fellas.
All right, yeah okay.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. Well, I can't do Friday. I'm
going away again.
I'll just probably get a bit of golf somewhere.
he's topping up his EasyJet cars, yeah. Heading off somewhere. Thank you very much indeed, of course, as always, to John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. As the lads said, get behind any sort of petition or campaign to get some recognition for those Smith brothers and what they've achieved. Great boxing fraternity in the city. Thanks for all your involvement tonight, whether it be via the tweets or the texts. The Radio City Legends will be back on Friday. With a different red, but we'll see you then.